Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Third Shot Podcast. As always, we would love for you to support us on social media. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook, as well as YouTube at Third Shot Podcast. We're also on X at Third Shot Pod. And last week, Uncle Greg and Russ had me laughing so hard I was crying. So we'll see what's in store for this intro this week, but let's grab our glasses. We'll do another toast to Third Shot.
Cheers. The drinks might help you ging crying in tears with laughter.
Maybe that's what was doing it. I don't know.
It doesn't hurt. I'm
dying.
Well, I'm having caffeine here, so I'll be ready to. It'll bring the funny.
All right.
Bring the funny faster, maybe.
We'll see. Put some like tissues underneath my laptop or something, just so I'm prepared. You should
just be ready.
Yeah.
Hey Russ, I never asked you this before, but you used to be a DJ on the radio. Was there ever a time when you were on the radio and you just like lost it? Like where you just started laughing or you just forgot what you're gonna say? Or is there ever a time like that?
I don't believe so. I think I was always always tried to get a little more ready, as ready as I could. There was one time that I fell asleep.
Oh no.
Yeah, I was working at a jazz station and I put on this John Coltrane song, an intentionally long Coltrane song, because I was on overnights. And you know, listening to jazz at 2 a.m, like, come on, you're gonna not be well. So I put this thing on, and we were using records back then. So I woke up to.
How long do you think it was dead air?
I don't know. Long, too long.
That's so funny. Jazz is so soothing. I mean, yeah, how can they blame you?
I mean, I was going to school and, you know, like also working at, you know, and then doing the radio. So I was up late and yeah, I don't think I slept before that. So I was, sleeping.
You've had an amazing background in music because you worked at a radio station. You kind of did a lot of different roles within this. You were a DJ, plus you were a producer. I don't know if you want to drop any names, but you were a producer. Sales, you did promotions, you know, you were into the concerts. I mean, that must have been cool.
Yeah, the concerts were a lot of fun, you know, because we got basically really good seats or backstage access. I don't know if I feel like I've told this story on one of the podcasts, but one time we're doing this event and I'm on the side of the stage chatting with this person, great guy. We're just, you know, chopping it up and talking about whatever. And they're the morning show host is on the stage about to introduce the act. And I'm talking to this guy. And then he, you know, the morning show guy goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chris Isaac." And he goes, "Oh, excuse me, I got to go." He's a cool guy. You think I would have known, but you know, he just does the t-shirt and jeans. And I actually thought he was like one of the backstage people because he was in a black t-shirt and black jeans. It's like, that's you wear. That's the uniform. But yeah.
Who's Chris Isaac?
Chris Isaac, Wicked Game was the big song that he had.
And you had a television show as well, right?
Yeah. He was in a couple of movies. And I think a television show. And, he does a couple of songs. He's just like more of like a San Francisco kind of in San Francisco. We know him a little bit more because he's got some songs about San Francisco as well. So yeah. Those play on the local radio stations. But yeah, it was an oopsie. What
do you do? So after all those years of being like kind of in the music industry, do you have a favorite genre of music or like top two?
So, you know, then I went into DJing, right? And DJing, you're playing whatever people want to hear at that particular event, whatever's going to get them on the dance floor, right? So I would play a little bit of everything. And it got to the point of where you're listening to music and you're like, oh, this music or this song would seg nicely into that song, or this would work well with that. So it's sort of like your mind gets into work mode, you know, when you're listening to music. So I stopped listening to a lot of music for a while. And I was like, if I listen to it, I'm going to think about the gig. I'm going to reminisce about a gig, or I'm going to think about a future gig, or I'm going to figure out like what, you know, how to blend this in with other music. So I never got requests for country music. So I started listening to country music. So my two favorite genres right now are jazz and country. Jazz, because hey, clearly. Country is fun because it's just something different that nobody typically requests. So it's easy to listen to because I never had to think about it.
You've probably listened to what, thousands and thousands of songs?
Yeah.
You probably own thousands and thousands of songs.
Yeah, I've got a hard drive of that's pretty impressive in a you know, I don't know. A lot of music.
Okay, so I'm going to put you to the test.
Okay,
all the songs that you have in that hard drive, if you had to pick one song to be Bridgie's walk up music for our next tournament, what would it be?
Oh well. You got to fire up the crowd.
Yes.
For, you know, right.
And you got to fire Bridgie up, yes. Right?
Yeah. So,
and because it's Bridgie, and I'm going to go with that song. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Oh yeah.
Right? You know that song?
I know that one. Yeah.
Yeah. That song. We got to go with that one. I think.
I like it.
That's a good one. Right?
Hype people up. Get you excited.
Yeah.
Get them excited. And of course you're setting an expectation. You got to win.
I know. I was gonna say no pressure.
Just seeing it right there, but you know, I mean, you know, we've talked on the show before about how you gotta like, you know, put up the game a little bit, right? So that I think that song would do it.
That's right. Yeah, and I think it'll intimidate your opponent.
Right.
Yeah. They're right. Like, oh shoot, she must be good.
Yeah, she's got her own walk of music. So I remember one time, Bridgie, when we were playing kickball, that we brought the speakers to the field.
Yes.
And we had walk-up music to our kickball game. And that was pretty awesome. Fun. Yeah.
That was super fun. And I think we probably downloaded those off LimeWire or something.
Probably, yeah.
Don't download us.
Oh, LimeWire.
So what would Uncle's walkout song be then?
Oh, geez. Maybe Eat It, Weird Al Yankovic.
Perfect. And that's like double entendre because I, you know, the food, obviously everybody knows I love to eat, but yes. I can just totally eat it on the court.
Too. That's what I was thinking was the food.
I know, I'm thinking about after. Like you're going to eat before, you're going to eat after.
During maybe.
It's funny because it's funny you said that, and I had no idea you're gonna pick that song. But I was just talking to my wife last night about an upcoming day that I'm playing all day, and said, "Yeah, you gotta pack me some spam musubis." About all the snacks I'm gonna bring.
No matter what it is, it's about the food for you. Like it doesn't matter what, like you know. What's the food going to be?
No, I'm in tears, Bridgie.
Oh, no. See, it's contagious. So the tournament that we did back in San Ramon, like a year ago, think it was now, Uncle was asking me, so what kind of snack should we bring with us to the tournament? I was like, I need to think about bringing snacks. And he says, you know, Auntie makes these really good hard-boiled, like marinated eggs. Would you like some of those? I was like, yeah.
That's going to be on my list for the upcoming day.
Yes, nice. That's a good request. Nice.
Oh, no. You guys outed me.
There's a tear.
I mean, come on. We've talked about food enough on this show where I think now, people know.
But now it's attached to the song that I'm going to play. Now, next time I drive to the court, I'm going to be playing Eat It. Yeah.
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 They're going to be blasting it.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, not the worst song. I could have gone like, you know, what is the I'm just Ken, you know.
No.
Totally messed with you there.
That would have been current though. Very current. Yeah.
That would be pretty funny to come out to though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but you'd have to do the whole like dress thing, kind of like the
well, I'd have Oscars, to wear pink, right? Like,
what's that?
I'd have to wear pink.
Exactly. You come out
with the visor. Maybe you can bleach your hair a little bit.
Right.
Just the tips, right? Just
the tips. Yeah, the tips.
that was a thing for a minute, right?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, the frosted totally. Tips.
Well, speaking of music, we have somebody that is just an amazing person that in the pickleball world, but he didn't start in the pickleball world. He started in the music world. So when we come back, we have Gordon Gebbard, and you will be just amazed at this gentleman's background. So come on back and meet with Gordon. Welcome back from break. We really appreciate you hanging out with us for that short little time. It allows us to kind of bring in our guests and of course some more drinks. So thank you for hanging out. We have a very, very special guest that's joining us today. I don't even know where to start with all the accolades that Mr. Gordon Gebbard has in his background, but you know, he's got the rock and roll background. He's got the NPL going on. We got the Slam Master. We got what? Oh, the Pickleball Television Network. Very, very exciting addition. Plus all the travel he's doing for pickleball. We're going to get into all of this. I just lost my breath, but welcome Gordon to the Third Shot Podcast.
Thank you, Uncle Greg and Bridgie. And thank you to Russ there for the beginning of the show. Awesome.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. We were super excited to hear all about everything that has been going on in your life, especially wow. the pickleball piece. But before we get into it, we're going to do our second shot of the show.
Little tradition here. Cheers, Gordon.
Cheers, guys. I'm going lightweight with the Corona, so.
Yeah.
That's all right.
You're pacing yourself.
I was going to ask, how old's Bridgie?
I'm 32, so I'm definitely of drinking age.
You look so young. I said, I don't know if you're drinking age.
You are my favorite, but I don't drink most of the time. I don't really care for alcohol, but I've got some delicious green tea that I'm having.
Yeah, I'm the same thing. I'm a teetotaler.
So.
I'm only 19, but I'm drinking Jack Daniels tonight.
A hard so. Yeah,
make up for everybody. Very cool.
I do look old for my age. I'm only 19. So, and somehow I'm Rich's uncle at the same time. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
I'm in denial, so.
Well, Gordon, as I mentioned before, we are here to hear about pickleball, but also you have a very amazing and fun history in the music industry. So if you could share with our audience, can you tell us about all the amazing bands that you've been able to play with and just share with us some of those fun stories?
What's really fun, I didn't make up this moniker. It's one of my neighbors did, and he's a real cool guy. I'm a retired rock star. I'm retired. So I'm not playing anymore. But I played with the most famous bands in the world. I've toured the world many times over. And I'm most known for working with Ace Frehley for years. I played with Marty Balin from Jefferson Starship. See, I'm going to mention all this stuff that Bridgie doesn't even know. She's too young to even know those bands.
You guys are icons. I definitely know what you're talking about.
Her parents are Deadheads and Beatle fans. So she
I got a long, long list of people I've worked with. I worked with Liberty DeVito from Billy Joel's band. I worked with Motley Crue. I worked with, this is why I say what a lot. I'm very deaf. I could go on and on with all the bands I played, but I toured the world. I've been around the world many times over. And people ask me, what's the most unusual place I've been? And I've actually been to the North Pole. I actually performed for the troops, our military, up in Greenland with Donna Summer's band.
Whoa!
So we went and entertained the troops up there, which was really cool. And I was about 20 years old at the time. It was like 1981, yeah, something like that. Then 1980, I think it was 21. I'm really showing my age here. So if you have any questions about all the crazy antics that I've survived, go for it.
Well, who are you playing with up in the North Pole?
It was Donna Summer. We rented.
Was there anybody else that was at that tour with you guys?
No, we were just entertaining the troops there. So we went up to the Dew line, the daily early warning line. I don't know, you really looked that up. And that was six bases along Greenland that monitored Russia if we were ever getting attacked from Russia during the Cold War, you know, and they would go over to North Pole to attack us. Oh, so man. I was up there and I saw so all the military stuff there. It was really cool. And I saluted the military back then. And what's really wild, you know, we did USO shows. I meet people in the military and I thank them for their service. And I said, and they asked me if I was involved with the service. I said, well, I did USO shows. And they would shake my hand and say, thank you for your service. Because, you know, we needed you to do entertain us. And I know, you know, it's not what they do. They sacrifice a lot more. But, you know, they thanked me for what I did for them, which was really cool. But that was only small part of my history. I mean, I've worked on many albums, live stuff, jams, and all kinds of really cool musicians I played with in my life.
One concert sticks out that you totally remember for whatever reason?
There's a couple, but I loved Sweden rock. I played with a band called Angel, and they were on Casablanca Records along with Kiss, and I was the keyboard player for Angel, and it was very keyboard oriented band. And Sweden rock was, we played with Dee Snider from Twisted Sister.
Yeah,
I grew up with Dee. Yeah, I used to go see Twisted Sister in little clubs and stuff like that. And we ended up playing this big giant show in Sweden, and it was called Sweden Rock, just a sea of people. And I did a couple other concerts like that where there's a sea of people and everybody goes, do you get nervous? I go, no, I get nervous when I'm in the studio and I got two eyes looking over me playing something. But when there's a sea of people and entertaining, I loved it. I ate it up, and I really miss performing. I really do.
Gosh, you must be so talented. As a kid, when did you even start playing before you started going on tour? What got you into music?
I started late. I mean, I always loved music growing up. And in high school, I was 15 years old, and a guy gave me an organ, I looked at it at some party. I was playing on this organ there, and the guy goes, you like this and that. And the next day he showed up and gave me the organ. He bought a new one. He gave me the old one. And I just started playing by ear, and I was figuring out stuff from my favorite band was Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Bridgie, you're not gonna know it. and Deep Purple. I was into that. I was into keyboard stuff. Yeah. And then all my friends were into Kiss, and which was really weird. I didn't even like Kiss. I shouldn't say that publicly. I do. I admit everything. I'm very upfront with everything. And I ended up working with Ace Frehley and being best friends with Ace for like 10 years. Kiss fans would think, you know, I was a big Kiss fan. I go, nah, I was into ELP, Genesis, and progressive rock, you know. I appreciate Kiss now more than I did back then. I was kind of a music snob because I was into more intricate music. Like Yes, I loved Yes. Uncle Greg will know that stuff.
I do know Yes, and you mentioned Genesis, and Phil Collins is one of my favorites. Did you ever get to play with Phil? Or
I never got to play with Phil, but Phil lives in, he lived in my area near North Stamford in Connecticut. Yeah, and I have friends that, you know, they're really close and stuff. The music business was so incestuous. You know, you would mention one guy and you played with another guy. You're always connected with everybody somehow, you know. So Phil, I never got to play with, but awesome musician, awesome drummer. I played with the best drummers in the world, though. I was really spoiled, but I blame them for my hearing problems, my tinnitus.
Well, who would you say are the top two drummers in the world, in your opinion?
I love Carl Palmer from Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Liberty DeVito, I worked with, fantastic drummer. He played with Billy Joel for like 20-something years. And I ended up in the studio with Liberty, and he actually turned to me and said, you're a better keyboard player than Billy Joel. And I said, my bank account doesn't match his. So.
Well, when and someone then I played with, you're a better keyboard player than the piano man, that's saying something.
Yeah, yeah. That was cool to hear from him. I said, you got to put it on tape.
So, yeah, repeat it for us, please.
Yeah, repeat it for us, yeah. And like I was doing to Uncle Greg, I was shelling out more money as the credits were rolling. Anton Figg, he played with the David Letterman band. You know, I don't know if you remember the David Letterman show. And Anton Figg was the drummer there, and I was really good friends with Anton, a great drummer. I just played with the best drummers in the world, and it kind of spoiled me, because whenever I got to jam with like a local band, and you know, it was like a drummer just playing with a, you know, a local, and he thought he was great, and I was like, it was like nails on a blackboard to me, because I played with the best drummers in the world. Terrible. I got spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how fun. And I'm sure you have like tons more stories, but we appreciate you sharing that bit with us. Yeah. At what point did you decide, okay, I'm done with the rock and roll lifestyle. Now I'm switching to pickleball. How the heck did that happen?
Well, it happened, you know, unbelievable. I'd still be playing to this day if it wasn't for tinnitus. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I have ringing in the ears really bad. And it's 24/7 forever, the rest of my life. And my last show is about, I keep always getting, as it goes farther away, my last show is in Mexico City with my best friend, Mike Seattle. He's a drummer. He played with Jefferson Starship, and there's my buddy. So Mike Seattle and I went down to Mexico City, and we were playing a Kiss Expo show. And I got off stage. I was wearing earplugs, and I was wearing Smith & Wesson gun protectors on my ears. That's how bad the ringing was. And then I went to the dressing room and I said, that's my last show. Sorry, I can't perform live anymore. It was terrible. It's a downer, but it's okay. So now my brother introduced me to pickleball. So to keep me out of trouble.
So when was that?
That was about 5-6 years ago. And that was down, he's down in Port St. Lucie. My mom was down there, and he was taking care of my mom. Yeah, so I would go down there for her birthday and, you know, Christmas and stuff like that. So one year I go down and my brother goes, are you ready? We're going to go. He'll always drag me out to the golf course. And I was I was Happy Gilmore on the golf course. It was terrible. And he would drag me to, and he goes, we're going to go play pickleball. I go, what? And he goes, yeah, we're going to play pickleball. I go, what? And close your ears. What the F is pickleball? I said it like that. And he goes, you'll see. And he brought me onto the court with a bunch of other guys. And I look back at that. I can imagine what these guys thought of me going on the court knowing nothing. And my brother goes, he's good. He's athletic, you know. But I was awful, obviously. I didn't know the rules. I didn't know the kitchen and, you know, all that stuff. I caught on quick. You know, but not quick enough to get, you know, these guys are crushing the hell out of me, you know, making a joke out of me. So I came back to Connecticut and I Googled pickleball. And I said, all right, I'm trying to find pickleball up here in Connecticut. And I found a woman named Betsy Underhill. And I she was giving lessons, you know, pickleball lessons. So I went and made an appointment with Betsy. I said, Betsy, teach me pickleball. And she goes, yeah, I'll teach you pickleball. And, you know, she's doing it lax. I go, no, teach me pickleball. And she goes, you sound like you're on a mission. I go, yeah, teach me so I could go down and kick my brother's ass down in Florida. So she taught me pickleball, and I started playing. And then, like, a couple of months later, I went back down to Florida, played with a bunch of guys, and my brother goes, oh, you got a little better.
Well, I mean, I know you're a modest guy, but you're a very accomplished pickleball player now. I mean, 5 years later, you've really made a name for yourself playing.
I got to pay Greg for all the accolades.
Yeah, you're good.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I should actually retire from pickleball because I reached my peak. I got to play with Colin Johnson against Colin Johns. You can't get any better than that. So wow.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was awesome. There's the Rossetti brothers. Oh, I gotta put this on real quick.
Okay.
So that's Pickleball Television Network, and that's the Rossetti brothers playing right there. They played the championship of the NPL. We'll get to that in a second too. Okay. I know I'm talking fast. I'm trying to fill everything in for you guys, all the info.
It's so much information. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. So the Rossetti brothers brought in Colin Johns to do a clinic, you know, a pickleball clinic. And the Angelo Rossetti calls me up and says, you know, we got Colin Johns coming to do a clinic and everything. He said, can Colin stay at your house? I go, yeah, I got room. I got a big house. Yeah. And I said, yeah, that'd be cool. And I met Colin out in California, but it was at another PPR event. And when you meet people at these big events, you don't remember people, you know, because I know being in the rock and roll world, I've signed so many autographs and everything. I met so many people, and I'd have somebody come up to me and go, remember that concert you did in Detroit? I was in the third row. You remember seeing me? Yeah. So same thing with pickleball. So, but Colin came and stayed at my house, and we did. And I actually am PPR and IPTPA certified coach, and ended up teaching, you know, a clinic with him. And then I said, Colin, you owe me games. We got to play. And the last day we got together and we played. It's on video, so it was really cool. Yeah.
He is one of the best. I mean, talk about strategist and how he plays the game.
He's number one, not Ben. Colin's the number one doubles player. So, and Colin's rated, you know, a touch higher than Ben. But that's how, you know, Ben's got the name and the star power, so to speak, and Colin's fine with it. I even asked Colin about it because, you know, when he came to my house, he saw, you know, platinum album on the wall. He didn't know what I was about. He didn't know I was an ex-rock star.
He didn't know anything about you. Oh.
He didn't know anything about me. So, and then he came to my house and he goes, oh my God, I got to tell my dad I met the guy that played with the guys from Kiss. said, tell my dad. I go, thanks.
But you held your own on the court with him, so he gained pickleball respect as well too. So that's awesome.
He did. He did. So yeah, Colin.
You mentioned the NPL, right? National Pickleball League. Talk a little bit. I mean, you're the founder. I mean, we're talking to the founder of the NPL. How did that all happen?
So, we should back up in order, but that's all right. We'll talk about NPL. So I in pickleball, I invented the Slam Master, pickleball training paddle. So it's a ball attached with a cord, and it gets all your eye hand coordination. So about three years ago, I invented this paddle, and I trained with it. And now I've sold, I'm up to like 9,000, 10,000 units of Slam Master sold. Even the Shark Tank guys got in touch with me. It takes a year to get on Shark Tank.
Were you on Shark Tank?
No. It's still in the works for me to go on there. I don't even know if I want to go on yet, you know, if they take the product serious enough. Right. So I invented that paddle and I did really, really well. And that's how I got good. You know, with how good I got on the court. If you look on, you probably did your homework, some of my games on YouTube and everything. My hands are super fast, but just because my hands are fast, I could slow down the game, and I hit late shots, and that's my trick. And I'm very deceptive on the court. So I invented the Slam Master, and then that was going along, and then I saw all these leagues coming out. And all the leagues so far that are out there, MLP, APP, PPA, all that stuff, they cater to the pros. So I came up with something. I said, you know, instead of catering to the pros, why don't we cater to the average, ordinary pickleball player that's out there? Because if you go on a court and ask people, besides Ben Johns, because everybody's got his paddle, name some more pros. And they don't know. They can't name the top 10 players. They're just out there playing for fun. And, you know, so that's what the league is really geared towards. And what it is make your rec games count. You go on, and it's the official NPL. There is another NPL out there, and they do have to change their name. I came out with NPL first, National Pickleball League. And we're in litigation with that. They won't stop for some reason, being stubborn about it. I told them to call their league the Senior Pro National Pickleball League because they're all about senior pros.
Right.
And my league is just a National Pickleball League for anybody to join, any skill level, any age. and you could join for free, and there's a paid version of it too. And we just, there's so much info. If I'm talking too much, cut me off.
No, give us the info.
Hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did the first season of MPL last year, and the first prize was a trip to Cuba. I ended up going to Cuba, and wow. A million prizes, lots of prizes, and everybody really enjoyed it. And we had over last year like 1,000 people playing in all different areas all over the United States. We're closing in on 1,400 members this year, and it's going to explode before we start the season in April. Next month, the official MPL starts. Yeah. So,
awesome. Well, congratulations. That's a huge number to have already.
Yeah, it would be much more if there wasn't that little distraction with the other league that's calling themselves MPL,
yeah.
Because I could have concentrated on more advertising and things like that. But it's such a battle with trademark and stuff like that. But it's great. Everybody that's been in the league loves it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what's the format of the league?
Glad you asked. The format is if the four of us go on a court, 1, 2, 3, and then we have a fourth person on the court, and we're all MPL members, and we're playing our little rec game. You put the score in after you play your game. So you keep track of all your rec games. You keep track of all your scores, and then you go into a ranking system in your state. So, and we do it by accumulated points. So the more you play, the more points you accumulate. And then the season runs April all the way to September. And then the top 16 players in each state play a state championship. And those two players go on to the final national championship. The format's really cool because we're individual players just trying to gain points. And it's all round robin. So you don't have to depend on a teammate because I started this because I did do leagues. And I was with a teammate for like 6 weeks, 8 weeks. The guy was on vacation. We got COVID. There was all kinds of stuff going on, you know. So it's hard to coordinate. And it got very confusing trying to coordinate team play and all that, you know, partner play. So this is an individual play. You can stick with a partner. You know, you could stick with a partner all throughout the whole season. But you're not, it's not mandated. So you're all, you know, rotating. I think it shows talent when you could play with all different new partners in games because you have to adjust. You know, it's a bigger adjustment. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are there different skill levels broken up in the league as well? Or am I going to have to get my butt kicked by like 4-0s?
During the season, any skill level could play with any skill level as long as you agree on the court. Because I see a lot of people, I'm not a pickleball, I see pickleball snobs in like 4-0, 4-5, 5-0, and they won't play with people, you know, they say, well, you know, what's your duper rating? 3-0? No, I'm a 4-0. I don't want to go on the court with you. But as I was moving up in sort of talent or skill level, I mean, I was a 3-0 player. The only way you could advance is to play people above you. Because if I see people that stay at 3-0 and 3-5, and then they're crushing 3-0 and 3-5, and they don't move up. All I learned as a 3-0, 3-5 player that all my shots were working. And then when I went to a 4-0 level, my shots weren't working. I was like, oh, no, these guys are really good. You know? And as you go up and up and up, certain shots do not work that you're used to beating up lower level players. So, all right. So to answer you with MPL, any skill level could play with any skill level. But as a 4-0 or 4-0 player beating up on 3-0s the whole season, bad strategy. Because then when you get into the playoffs, then you got to play people in your skill level, and you're going to be so rusty because you're playing lower level play, and you're going to get killed. I won't name them, did that strategy, and they got crushed in state championships and stuff. Yeah.
So is there a 3-0, a 3-5, a 4-0, 4-5 state championship level? Like every level has their own championship.
Yeah, this year we're going to break it up because we have the volume. Last year we mixed it because we didn't have the volume enough, you know. So this year, as we get to a state championship, we'll break it up into levels. Yeah, and gender and stuff like that. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. So for the listeners who may be interested in joining this league, what's the best way for them to kind of get some more information and sign up?
Ah, there you go. It's even on the back of the shirt.
Ooh. So
So, and I have a square code. I say, just hit the you know, QR code there. They just go to that website, usa-mpl.com. Great. And then you can register for free. Yeah, and but if you do the paid version, you'll get swag, like this really cool.
Very cool shirt.
I mean, is the logo big enough on the shirt?
Could be a little bigger.
And then we got the hat. Right? We got the MPL hats. We got MPL bumper stickers. Stick them on your car. You know, hey, I come from the world of KISS. It's all, you know, promotion.
You gotta have it all. Yeah.
Yeah, swag. Yeah.
So earlier you had kind of you shifted your camera and showed us the television there, the pickleball television network. Tell us what your involvement is, because this is exciting for you, right? This is cool.
So actually, here it's live. You know, that's the pickleball television network night, and that's me presenting the MPL championship belt. We had an MPL National Pickleball League championship belt, and it was awarded to Angelo Rossetti. He actually won the whole season. He awesome player, and I'd say he got to play Colin John, and that's his twin brother, Ettore, Ettore, and he distinguishes himself with a mustache there, so they don't look completely alike. And so yeah, I became the Pickleball Television Network. We'll put the belt. Oh, we got the belt on here. Nice. So I became the Pickleball Television Network president, and I was offered that job this past November, and the full launch is this month was the full launch, and it's just linear. It's on Roku, it's on Apple TV, and it's on all Verizon based televisions. You look up Pickleball and you get the Pickleball Television Network. And then there's a website also. You could just click on the website if you don't have Roku or Apple TV or the Verizon. And you can watch all the programming on there. And I'm pretty much in charge of programming. And what I want to do is get not just games on there, all entertainment, anything, you know, skits on pickleball, comedy, clinics, obviously, you know, coach tips and stuff like that. So I'm going to aggregate the best that's on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and get the best people there and then, you know, broadcast it on the Pickleball Television Network. And I'd love to get your show on there, too. That's it.
Hey, Bridget.
Whoa, you there heard you that, go. Listeners.
Yep. Breaking news, everyone.
There you go. Yes.
Third Shot Podcast on the on TV. We've made it. We're big time now. We made Pickleball Television Network.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to have to work out the details on that. I love it. We can't wait.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah, Bridgie.
I was going to ask, so how did you become president of it? They just, you know, realize that you're super awesome and love pickleball and wanted you to be the president. How did it go?
So I have to really thank a guy named Jeffrey Jagfeld, and he was a pickleball coach here up in Connecticut, in New Canaan, a really, really nice facility in New Canaan, Connecticut. And he called me one day. He was down in the Bronx, you'll hear my New York accent. You can make fun of it. I sound like Joe Pesci, I know. So Jeffrey calls me up and he says, you got to come down to the Bronx and these guys want to interview you. And I recommended you to these, you know, two fellas. And I went down there. I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know I was going to be interviewed on video. And he just said, bring pickleball stuff, bring all your pickleball stuff. I thought I was just going to play and talk to somebody. These guys, Jack Marafi and Mike Wiles, sat me down and interviewed me, and they knew about the MPL, the official MPL, and they loved it. They loved the whole concept and everything. And they wanted to sign a contract with me to get all future MPL games onto this pickleball television network that they were starting. And I said, yeah, I love it. And I said, and you know, give me more details and everything. About 2 weeks later, they called me up and said, we need another meeting with you. And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking things are falling apart. I'm very negative. Right? And I go to this meeting and they sit me down and it was a 3-hour meeting. And halfway through the meeting, they go, we want you to be the president of the Pickleball Television Network. And I was like, really? I said, are you sure you know who you're asking here? And they go, we know. We did our homework on you. And they knew my rock and roll background. They loved it. They loved my, you know, all my experience with media and all that stuff. And they said, you know, and they love what I did with pickleball. And they said, you have so much connections with everybody. And they were right. So, and it was really cool. I was honored and I took the job of pickleball, you know, president of the Pickleball Television Network. And it's going to be really cool. It's really building up. Yeah. Really cool programming.
Well, congratulations. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, obviously they did pick the right guy to be their president. And thank you for, you know, making that offer to us. I mean, that's amazing. We would be very excited to obviously be on the network. Like, what are your plans? What do you see for the future of this upcoming next 12 months for the network?
Well, I just came back from Finland. I've been traveling. I did Cuba. And then I went to Finland and I just a couple of weeks ago. It was very cold. I actually went to a rock event to do a big signing, autograph signing and things like that. I'm big in all the Scandinavian countries. I've been there many times. It was my fourth time going to Finland. Great fans. I loved the fans there. And then I brought Phil Heyman with me, who's with PPR. And I found the pickleball guy in Helsinki. So I did a double dip. I said, I'll do this rock event and then we'll teach clinics in Helsinki, Finland. And I met up with this guy, Tuomo. I can't pronounce his last name correctly. But, Tuomo was wonderful. He's the head pickleball guy in Helsinki, Finland. And he just introduced me to everybody. They loved it. We were rock star, pickleball rock stars, along with being a real rock star. It was really, really cool. So, and then Cuba was amazing also. We met so many people, all the kids. We met a lot of kids that were playing. And I donated all Slam Master products to them to help out the Cuban, you know, the Cuban kids and everything to get playing with pickleball and things like that. So there's a lot of traveling involved. I go down to Florida a lot. I got to mention, if I met Randy Sussman, he's awesome down in Florida. And then Maureen, Mo,
Mo, thank you for introducing us.
hot stuff pickleball, yeah.
Right.
And then Greg Storm, we got a shout out to Greg Storm. Yeah. He's great. Knowing all these people and it's really cool. I love the pickleball world. It's so interesting. And now I met you guys. You guys are wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, well, you're stuck with us now because once you're a part of the Third Shot family, like, you're in.
That's right.
We only did one shot, right?
But you're in. You made it. You did it. We're in.
Two shots.
Well, let's take our third shot. Bridgie,
yeah, oh. Let's do it.
Raise a glass. Gordon, thank you so much for coming on the show. Cheers.
That was good. Cheers.
Everything you have going on is amazing. I don't know how you keep up.
Yeah, I still got energy at this age. Like I said, I'm in denial.
That's okay. I love it. You do have great energy, and we super appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to meet with us and to talk about pickleball because we can't get enough of it. But also, we got a little extra this time with your rock and roll background, too.
You guys are awesome. I love it. I love that he's your uncle and the niece, and you guys got great chemistry too. The show is awesome. I love it.
Thank you so much. Hey, before we let you go, hey, this is your opportunity. Plug whatever you want to plug. Talk about NPL. Talk about the television network. Go for it.
I'll just go down the list. So first of all, with the Slam Master, go to slammasterpro.com. Great training aid. It really is fantastic. You'll see it. You look it up on YouTube. You'll see all the great, you know, tips on how to really get your pickleball game. It really does help your pickleball game. It did. I was lucky and blessed to even invent that product. It's really cool. And then with MPL, just go to usa-mpl.com. It's free to join, register there, and then get all your friends to join, and then make your rec games count. Just start putting your scores in and then accumulate them, and then you never know what's going to happen. You could be I always say, a really talented pickleball player out there that could be really talented and will shine a spotlight on them so they could advance to pro level or whatever, or a great rec player or whatever, you know, or just have fun. Yeah. And then you have the Pickleball Television Network, which is pickleballtelevisionnetwork.com. And then you can, you know, watch it right on the website. Here's Eva Welsher right here, because I had it running. It's running live right now on pickleballtelevisionnetwork.com. And here I am interviewing Eva Welsher. She was wonderful, awesome. She's number one female mixed-up player. She's really good. Senior player.
Yeah. Fantastic game. My goodness, you got so much going on, and thank you so much for joining us again. This was so much fun, and we're going to be definitely talking, obviously, about the television in the future. So we really appreciate everything you're doing for the pickleball community.
Thank you so much, and thank you for letting me rattle on, trying to fill as much information in such a small amount of time. I really appreciate it, guys.
You got it, and we'll definitely have you back. And for everybody listening, thank you for joining us on Third Shot, where Bridgie and I will continue to share our pickleball journey. Special thanks to Gordon. I mean, he's the best. He's got so much going on. He gave you all the different sites and places to check him out. He didn't mention his own Instagram account, which I think is wonderful as well. He's posting stuff all the time, which is Gordon GG Gebert. So we got three G's in a row there. Don't miss a G, otherwise four G's total, which I thought was funny because Rick Barry, who's one of my long-term, you know, idols on the basketball court, he made the comment that you're the only person that has four G's in their Instagram account. So I love that.
Yeah. Rick's a great pickleball friend of mine. He's awesome. I love it. And he makes fun of my name all the time.
Rick is one of the best basketball players of all time. He has won the top 50. He won a championship with the Golden State Warriors in 1975. I had the pleasure of interviewing him when I was doing my golf radio show, because he's an avid golfer. He was one of the senior long drive champions at one point. So anyway, Rick Barry, when I saw him on your Instagram account, I was like, oh, I got to check this out. So anyway, that's
really cool. That's cool. Yeah, I'm trying to get all the sports celebrities and music celebrities and trying to get them to play pickleball. So, but Barry beat me to it. Rick Barry beat me to it for him.
But for all Very of cool. you listening, please go check out Gordon's Instagram account. He's got so much cool content on there. And you can keep supporting our show by subscribing. We promise to have more amazing guests just like Gordon in future episodes. So let's continue to share our enjoyment for the game and grow this pickleball community together. See you next time on Third Shot Podcast.